What's up, everybody? Today's episode is sponsored by Binshan TV's first official sponsor, Riverside.fm. Before getting into today's episode, let me tell you about their amazing recording platform. Our podcast has been going strong for the last few years, and while we have experimented with many different video recording softwares, nothing compares to Riverside for meeting all of our content creation needs. They completely changed the quality of our audio and video, and we'll never look back again. Riverside has everything you will ever need for content creation, including top-of-the-class features like auto-generated transcriptions, easy-to-use clip creation tools, video marketing, and much, much more. My personal favorite attribute of Riverside is their ability to bypass any poor internet connections as they record everything locally before automatically combining the final audio and video. The Riverside team are professional experts in their field, and they even have an entire library specifically dedicated to helping their user base master their tool called Riverside University. If you're a podcasters, YouTubers, or simply just looking to upgrade your audio video software for a more casual chats with friends and family, Riverside is a must have. You can try Riverside for free at riverside.fm, and you can use the promo code BingeTownTV, one word, for 15% off. We'll leave the link in the promo code in the show notes. You can just scroll and find them. Once again, that is riverside.fm, and the promo code is BingeTownTV for a discount. Thanks again to Riverside for being an amazing service for our podcast and sponsoring this episode. Okay, so if you're here, you probably listened to part one of our What You Watching pod. This is just an opportunity for us to talk to each other about shows we're watching right now, but not necessarily going in depth episode by episode on the podcast, but we want to give a little shout out to what we're watching. So again, as Luke said, if you hadn't listened to the first one, go listen to the first one and then come back. Really doesn't matter what order you listen in, but I talked too much, just like Luke said last episode. So I'm going to throw it to Dave to start us off.
All right, I'll take it. I actually have a few that I want to bring up here because I only got really, I guess I got two in the first episode, but first one being Constellation on Apple TV. And it's just another sci-fi banger that Apple TV is putting out there into the world. I feel like any trailer that I see on Apple TV is a sci-fi space show that looks great. This one is just that. Is it still weekly? It might still be weekly.
Yeah,
it might
still
be coming out
with
I think it's on the, it's either 7 or 8 right now. The finale might be coming out soon. But I'm one or two episodes behind right now. And honestly, it's just a fantastic show. It's just about a woman who ventures into space. And when some weird shit happens on this spacecraft with her and her friends, or coworkers rather, and she essentially comes back to what we feel like is a different world, essentially. It is supposed to be Earth, but she has a daughter that's acting a little bit different than what she's used to, an ex-husband or current husband that also is acting a little bit different. So just a big mystery of what
like
is going on.
Parallel universes kind of thing. That's what we're thinking,
exactly.
Right?
And to be honest, unlike House of the Ninja, which I wouldn't recommend people to watch, Constellation I absolutely would recommend, at least to where I'm at. It's just one of those shows that it just has so many questions that you want answered within the first episode. You get a pretty big banger of a cliffhanger at the end of episode one that just keeps making you want to watch more and more. That's, I feel like each episode kind of does that. And we're at the point where things are sort of they're sort of connecting a little bit. And it's just been such an enjoyable watch. It's just, I think Apple TV is almost king right now.
It's
just every one of their trailers, even if I haven't watched the show, makes me want to watch the show. I'm like, where there are Netflix shows where I see a trailer and I'm like, that just looks like a Netflix show, where any Apple show looks like a legitimate TV show. And this definitely falls into that category. Highly recommend. Mm-hmm.
That's on my list for sure. Apple TV has not let me down. I've seen maybe 7 shows and maybe only one was just okay, but the rest are bangers. The Crowded Room with Spider-Man, Tom Holland. It didn't hit like I wanted it to. He was excellent in it, but the story just wasn't there for me. It was interesting, just what didn't land the plane for me, but that's okay. But the rest are good. Shrinking, Silo. Oh my God, the hits just keep on coming.
I'm rebumping Constellation for Dave. I think I'm at the same spot he has, and it's been pretty damn good. I showed you guys last time we did a Bingetown day. We all watched the trailer for it for a second.
Oh yeah.
Just think like mind fuck sci-fi, like dark-esque and like mixed with space. It's very, very interesting. And I think if that's your alley of shows, like it's a can't miss. Like it's just so interesting. And the questions they pose just keep you clicking play next.
It definitely falls. It's definitely my kind of show where it kind of similar to the OA where you just got thrown in and it's just you. The show does a good enough job of just making you have all these questions, just making these assumptions about what's going to happen and then just completely turning the script on you. And just, it's just such a, it's been a really good watch. And the other thing I'll say is while we're on the topic of sci-fi, watched Ready Player One for the first time ever with Luke and Alki. That was fantastic.
Whoa, baby.
Yeah.
Shout out Queen Allison.
Queen Allison's in it, but Ready Player Two comes out. So definitely was so blown away by the movie, to be honest. I wasn't expecting to be. I had, within like the past couple of years, obviously, I was all in on Free Guy, which is the Ryan Reynolds movie. And this one is just way better, to be honest. Yeah. They're both video game movies, and this one is just way better. So I'm genuinely excited for Ready Player 2, even though I heard the book of Ready Player 2 is significantly worse than the first one. So that's what I got going on here. It's a lot of sci-fi this time around.
Is Ready Player 2 coming out this year?
I don't know if it's this year, but it's definitely been in the works.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think it's this year.
Yeah.
Brian, you're already talking. What you watching?
Oh, man. Walked right into that one. What am I watching? I'm interested if any of you three have seen it, because it is a huge show over on Hulu, and that show is Only Murders in the Building.
No, but you know what's funny is every time I finish an episode of A Murder at the End of the World, it queued up Only Murders in the Building. And I'm like, these two shows can't be similar. Like one's like a comedy. Yeah, she is.
Okay. Yeah, I know what it is. Yeah, I've heard of it.
Selena Gomez and then two old heads, Steve Martin and what's his name?
Martin Short. Short?
He plays... Yeah. The guy in How I Met Your Mother is how you would know him. Marshall's boss at the Environmentalist.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Something Hobbs. Mm-hmm. I forget his name.
I was looking up the cast, and of course, one of the characters, Grey's Anatomy. Shout out the
who?
Recording.
What's their name?
Their name, real life, is Jesse Williams.
Oh, hottest man in the world, you mean?
Say, he looks like a good looking man. He got eyes. But yeah.
Who's he play, Dave, in the show?
This guy named Tobert. Does that sound right, B-Toms?
Tobert. Yeah.
Maybe you don't know him yet.
No, I know him. I'm caught up in Only Murders in the Building. Anyway, though, it's Selena Gomez, Steve Martin, Martin Short, like I said. Those are the trifecta, and they all live in this old school New York City, just building, you know? Old style, really nice apartment building. And as the name suggests, there is a murder. They kind of all run into each other the same day that the murder happened. They're all kind of listening to the same podcast. And much in the spirit of this very podcast, Binchtown TV, they just decided to create this murder mystery podcast together because they all just love murder mystery podcasts so much. But it's, you know, they do a great job playing the Selena Gomez millennial off of their kind of older generation. Oh my gosh, what is this text?
Oh, I've
which
seen
usually
the
it's campy
clip.
And cheesy,
yeah.
But it is funny. I mean, Steve Martin and Martin Short are comedy legends, and that's
definitely
not even over exaggerating. They just are, and Selena Gomez is a superstar. So lots of star power in this show, and then every season it kind of follows a different murder. It's just really entertaining. Maybe I'm just not good at watching these shows, but I usually really didn't have a strong opinion on who the prime suspect was until like the last two episodes when they really started spoon feeding it to you. So it is well crafted. It keeps you guessing. It has you laughing, and it hits some good emotional beats. Plus, I don't see Selena Gomez. Maybe I just don't see her movies because it doesn't hit my demographic, but I feel like I honestly haven't gotten a lot of Selena in my life since Wizards of Waverly Place on the silver screen. So
I enjoyed seeing her.
It was really entertaining. So I would highly recommend.
Selena do movies? I don't think she does.
She kind of fell off of
acting for a while and focused on music. I think that's why you were missing her on your screen. But I'm glad you got her back.
So, it seems like a you kind of show, Kathleen. I feel like you would really like.
I did watch the first half of an episode and was like, I'm going to revisit this, because I was like, it was one of those times I was like, I'm just going to throw this on and listen to it in the background, and was like, no, halt. I have to pay attention to this. So I haven't gotten back to it, but I will eventually, for sure.
Anyway, that's Only Murders in the Building, people. Go watch it.
Anything else you want to shout out?
Anything else I want to shout out? I mean, you guys should all be watching Avatar The Last Airbender and The Legend of Korra. I'm just always going to shout that out. And yeah, I was back hitting all of the stuff that Binchtown TV has been hitting. Mm-hmm. Severance, Silo, Invincible. All three of those I highly recommend.
Some more
Apple TV bangers, especially Silo and Severance. Everybody has heard of Severance, but Silo, maybe not everybody has. We covered both of those on the podcast, so if you do watch them, listen to Binchtown TV's coverage, but they were also really good. And The Crown,
how caught up in Invincible are you?
I haven't started the recent season.
Oh, it's so good, man. It's literally...
Well, I guess I haven't started the second part of the recent season. I watched part the episodes that have come out in the past 2 weeks.
Gotcha.
Yeah. All right, me? I could take a swing at this.
Yeah, what you watching, Luke?
What I'm watching, I decided to be the best nephew in the world to my Aunt Kathleen here, and basically for like a month only watched shows that she was recommending, whether it was through text.
He's the best.
Actually on our last recommendation podcast, which we probably did like 2 months ago. And some of the things that I'll mention right off the top are... You got me onto Shrinking. I think you pitched that in one of our episodes, which I think, Ryan, somebody already you already mentioned it earlier. Shrinking is amazing. Like, I feel like you even undersold it. I was so into how the writing of this sitcom. Apple TV,
so good.
Again, like, this is, I mean, my only exposure in the form of a comedy from Apple TV, and it was a banger. Like, Jason Segel kills it. Harrison Ford's another main character, which is a big A-list actor to have on one of these shows. Second season's already about to come out. It was just praised across the board. So this was one of the easiest binges I've done in the whole year. Like, I just was mind blown at how much I was just clicking next and enjoying every single side character. It was like How I Met Your Mother, where I loved every single side character of the story.
That was my main point of pitching it, was every character feels necessary and lived in, and like the writers were like made to specifically write that one character, and yet they all perfectly meshed gorgeously. It was, oh God, so good. I got to rewatch that before season two comes out, because it was that good.
I should have waited until season two was coming out, because I was distraught at the fact that I finished the first season, but it was so freaking good.
Good.
Hey, Tom, do you have something to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to say it's made by Bill Lawrence, who I believe was involved with Ted Lasso, but also the creator of my favorite show, Scrubs. Well,
really? There you go. So you trust that? There's a stamp of approval right there, right?
I trust Apple TV. I'm on that bandwagon, so you had me.
That's
there.
An easy watch. I think they're shorter episodes, too, but if you ever wanted to jump into that. Another one that Kathleen pitched to me was on that same episode, iZombie. I've been crushing some of that, which if you've heard her talk about in the past, it's basically just a CW show that is now on Netflix. The whole thing's done, 5 seasons, very up our alley in terms of like relating to like The 100 and like things like that. The Magicians, it has the same goofy vibe. It's a little bit less, I would say, serious through how far I am. I'm on season 2 of 5. There isn't too much deep plot. And it's basically this girl gets infected. She becomes a zombie and she helps solve murder cases by eating the brains of the victims and getting their memories. Very just ridiculous concept at the face. It has our boy Raul from all of the Flanagan shows, and it's just a fun time. So if you're ever looking for something truly casual to throw in the background, that was another Kathleen recommendation that definitely checks out through 2 seasons.
Oh, it's so good, guys. You'll fall in love. You'll fall in love. I love them so much.
Associate that show with you. There are just some Kathleen shows that will never be anything but that, you know?
My CW era was one to behold. It really was. I was the queen of the CW for like 2 years running. I watched every single show on the CW. It was sick. Demented, really.
So that is 2 of the 3 that she recommended. And then the third one here, which kind of also aligned with me randomly seeing this as recommendations on either Twitter or TikTok or something, but another single season limited series show that I just got finished binging about a month ago. It's called Station 11. And this was a really, this was a nice dystopian apocalyptic binge where I need some of that every once in a while. I need like some Hunger Games-esque thing, like give me dystopian. If I don't get it every once in a while, I just start craving that type of show. And this got the edge for me. This was, I forget if it was 8 or 10 episodes, but just one singular season and it's already done. High quality television. And the premise of it is, think of a world that goes through COVID, but it basically kills like 80%+ of the population. And this came out before COVID, so it was just like a weird coincidence of the timing of when it was released. But it's a world where there's like only like 20% or less of the population remained. And it's more about just how these humans are dealing with the aftermath, like 20 years later, after the event actually like caused humanity to be on the verge of extinction. And it's one of those shows, like you're really getting a case study into the psychology of all these people being pushed to the limits of human survival. I will say that the ending wasn't my favorite part of the show. It was more just like the ride and how they were building the world out. The ending, I would say you get, it's like a 7 out of 10 in terms of satisfaction, but it's still worth the binge. Like it was a really good time. And my man from Pitch Perfect 2, who leads the riff off and does the gong, he's a big part in this. You know what I'm talking about? I forget his name, but he's a big part in this show and he's hilarious.
Yeah, it's another Mackenzie Davis show. And Mackenzie Davis is a star. I love her. From San Junipero fame, from Black Mirror, the Emmy Award-winning episode. And she's
in that too with Miles Teller's.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's another good one where like it happens and then you flash forward, what is it, 20 years, Luke?
I think so.
Like you see the first few episodes, you're seeing the effects of the pandemic right now as it's happening. The world's falling apart. People are going crazy. Literally, I think, where are they? Chicago or something? So they're in some city. I can't remember. I don't think it's New York, but shit's falling apart and they're locked in this place. And then it jumps 20 years to like how society has recovered from it or not recovered really, but
everything's
good stuff.
We're growing with grass, you know, there's some religious things going on. You don't really know. So it explores everything that you would expect from like a quick dystopian binge. So definitely recommend it. It seems like everybody that I see talked about it online loved it. So definitely a recommendation.
Nephew of the year. Put a pin on his shoulder. He's nephew of the year.
I had a Kathleen month where I was just catching up. I love that. And then the last thing I'll just mention, I won't talk about it too much. I already mentioned on the last episode, Dune Part 2. Loved it. I know B-Toms didn't love it as much as I did, but it was an amazing experience. I'm really happy. I actually just almost finished the book itself. That movie is amazing, and I love Timothée Chalamet.
Brian, I wasn't sure if you were going to say anything about that.
No response. See, I didn't.
Okay.
I actually have a quick question before you go, Kathleen. This is going to be a little off the discussion of what you're watching, but has anyone here seen Society of Snow since we're all the Yellow Jacket squad here?
Yes. I was shaking my head. No, yes, I've seen it.
So the only reason, I think we talked about it in our chat one day, and I didn't want to get into it because I was worried that it potentially might lead to some spoilers for Yellow Jackets, but I'm just curious if you think it's, as a Yellow Jackets fan, would you recommend it for us?
I will say the thing that I said, so I watched it immediately as it came out, and I will say the thing that stuck with me, again, this goes back to Brian, what we just talked about with your basketball show from part one of this episode. The fact that this happened makes you gobsmacked. Your jaw's on the fucking floor the whole time. I will say, one, there's no spoilers for Yellow Jackets. I mean, of course, they have to eat people, so there's some relevance there, but it's not the same. They're in like pure snow. They're in a plane. Like they don't have anything. They don't happen to find a cabin, a haunted cabin or anything like that. Like they are absolutely fucked. They don't have a fire or anything. So like when they're eating the people, they're just eating raw ass people. They're not cooking it like delicious Jackie, spoiler alert. It's not delicious like Jackie. But the thing that stuck with me is I was screaming during the actual plane crash. Like the way they shot that was fucking incredible. Yellow Jackets fucking wishes they got that level of detail because it was insane. People were breaking everything. Like the seats were pushing up against each other. And because of course it was also Yellow Jackets was what, 96. And this was in the 80s. Like the level of like airplanes. Quality of the planes themselves. So wild.
So really wild. I'm sorry, this is a dramatization of actual events, you're saying? Or
yes, it happened to us, to a rugby team.
Rugby team, that's what it was. Yes.
Yeah. Fucking brutal, dude. Yeah,
it's literally the story of Yellow Jackets beat Toms, but it's just, it's actually, the original movie is in, it's not Spanish. What is, I think it, maybe it's Spanish.
Like, where are they from?
It's Spanish, I think.
But I wanted to bring it up because I'm looking at all four of us here. I'm like, this is our Yellow Jackets squad. And I remember talking about the Society of Snow.
Is it a show or a movie?
It's a movie. It's Spanish. It's a Uruguayan rugby team. They crash into the Andes. Crazy. Yeah. And it's...
See, have you been in the Yellow Jacket plane or this plane?
Yellow Jackets for sure. I wouldn't have survived this one.
Even though you get haunted afterwards?
Yes.
Okay. Damn.
Yes. I would recommend the watch. It's absolutely heartbreaking. Like, me and Alex were like sick to our stomachs watching it. I can't believe. I truly can't believe.
I'm glad you would recommend it because I just was mostly worried that somehow the ending would tie into something like something that I haven't seen quite yet in Yellow Jackets was like the main reason I was staying away from it. But if it's a completely like different story, I want to watch it ASAP.
Look at Dave throwing out a recommendation he hasn't even seen before. That's good.
I was just thinking of the Yellow Jacket squad. That's it.
No, I love it.
Deed up a wreck for Kathleen. Nice assist.
I love that.
I miss Yellow.
That's good. I'm going to rip through a few with no comment. So I finally finished my watch of the OC. I had never seen it before. It's just like, oh man, the amount of times I heard that theme song was sick. Had to listen to it through every time. Yeah. That was great. I mean, that show goes off the absolute rails. That, no wonder it only lasts four seasons, but it's like, it's required viewing for anybody, I think. It's the Bible of teen dramas, I think. So that, and I'm always watching One Tree Hill week to week with the girls who were on the actual show, have a podcast week to week. So I watched with that. I've also been doing a lot of reality TV, which I really don't ever do. So I watched season two of Love on the Spectrum, which was excellent. It's so sweet. It's so cute. I love watching them fall in love. It's amazing. And I was hanging off their every word. It was great. Of course, I did. Because everyone was watching season two and they were like, just skip to season two and you can watch season one later. And there's some recurring characters, but you don't really have to watch season one. Excellent. Then, of course, The Traitors, which we covered on the pod. A few seasons of Survivor. Always watching Survivor to catch up on the backlog because I just started like 2 years ago. So I've been slowly catching up. I want to do a shout out to the Letterkenny series finale because that show finished after, I think it's 11 or 12. I can't remember off the top of my head, but... R.I.P. A great show. I'll be watching Shoresy when they drop seasons of Shoresy. But Letterkenny was really just a show that caught my heart. Brian has always been a fan of it. I binged 10 seasons in a week so I could be on the interview with me, Brian, and a couple actors from the show. I started acting different after I watched those 10 seasons. That's the kind of show that makes you start talking different, acting different. Like, it's yeah, and I think they ended it great. I was tearing up at the finale. That's a good thing. If I'm crying at the series finale, you know you did it well.
Let me ask a question, because I think you both have seen the whole shows, but how does it compare to something like Community? Like, what do you like better? Because I feel like there's similar types of...
I haven't seen all of Letterkenny, but I will say... Wow. The casual one-liners that Letterkenny is capable of dropping out of nowhere will make me bust out laughing ways that Community or even Parks and Recreation, which I find better than Community, ever could. Right. I think they're different. It's also shorter episodes, too.
They're 20 minutes? Can't really explain it.
Letterkenny is truly like nothing I've ever seen.
Yeah, the dialogue is so fast. They're geniuses. They, again, just kind of like Shrinking, they knew the assignment and they honed their craft so well on these characters. And it's like they're fast talking. So, and it's all about like best friendship and family. So the way they're going off of each other and the inside jokes is similar to Community. Is one of those shows where I would say the inside jokes span the entire series, six seasons in a movie. They're shooting the movie this year, by the way. Can't wait. So they're both good. I would say I would rewatch Letterkenny before I would rewatch Community again anytime soon. But you saying Selena Gomez and Disney Channel Wizards of Waverly Place reminded me, I don't want to get too far into this because it's like really fucked up, but I'm watching Quiet on Set, the Nickelodeon documentary.
I was just going to bring it up at the end if no one else did.
Yeah, it's as a Nickelodeon kid, it's devastating, right? The point of the documentary is to shed light on how awful this was, how they need to continue to improve it, and there needs to be like so many more policies and everything, just stop guards or gaps or whatever it needs to be. But the show is weird. It's hooking me in a way where I grew up on the Amanda Show. I grew up on all that. And they're showing clips, good or bad, right? They're showing stuff that's where they have like all these feet things where they probably shouldn't have been doing that as kids. Or they're just showing regular clips of sketches I remember loving, viscerally loving, watching on my little white TV in my bedroom when I was young. It's so weird that they're hitting these nostalgic beats while just like, it's devastating, right? And we all know how Amanda Bynes is these days. One of our great comedic talents, just something is not right, right? Like something went wrong. Drake Bell in episode 3 breaks your heart. What'd you say?
I have chills right now because that Drake Bell scene, like with his father there, absolutely crushed me when the father goes on this tangent and he's like blaming himself and he's crying. I broke down definitely.
Yeah, it's required viewing in the way that like everyone needs to know about this stuff. Everyone needs to learn. And if you're ever like you got to keep your eyes on your kids. Like the world isn't a great place. You can't just like let your kids, you got to keep an eye. Even Drake's dad, like he kept an eye. He wanted to be, he knew. And like people are manipulative, and it's really fucked up. So my heart goes out for them, but it's a good watch and it's an informative watch for sure.
It's only 4 episodes too. So it's very very consumable.
Just to throw in my 2 cents, yeah, me and Dave and Alki watched, I watched the whole thing in one day. Like it was, it took up all my mental bandwidth for like 3 days. I could not stop thinking about it. Like it just was so shocking to me that all happened. And also, if in case you didn't know, another episode's dropping first week of April, like a special 5th episode.
Oh.
That's going to be like an extra to it. So I'm definitely going to watch it. Like it opened my eyes, and I don't know, it stuck with me very much.
So
I think everybody
sad,
should
man.
Watch it.
Like, it sucks because like you said, Kathleen, like that's just stuff that we all grew up on. And like all these kids, it was like their dreams to be a part of Nickelodeon. And then they get there and then they're just completely used and manipulated. It's so devastating. And I hate it because I was 100% a Nickelodeon child. Like I definitely watched everything that Nickelodeon ever did. It's just such a shame, but definitely for just public knowledge reasons, I think everyone definitely should watch it.
For sure.
Yeah. I have one last show I'm going to pitch really quickly. If you need a show, quick binge on Netflix. I think it's 12 episodes. It's One Day with our boy Leo Woodall. He is the nephew from White Lotus season 2, like the guy who ate his uncle's ass. And shout out Vampire Academy. He's also in Vampire Academy. And then the standout to me, he's excellent, but the standout to me is the girl on the show who's Ambika Maud. Man, this show fucked me up in the best way. It's basically like a star-crossed lovers, best friends type deal. They meet at the very end of their like graduation at university. It's British. And then they have like kind of like a one-night stand, which doesn't really, like nothing actually happens, but they like kiss a little, but they realize that they have this weird bond. And then they're just star-crossed. Like he's a wild man and she's like whip smart and really like taking a trajectory here. And he's just like, you know, romping. He's like from a rich family, but they always come back together and it's so good. So if you're in, it's kind of like a rom-com, I would say, but it's more like there's some drama to it, but it's funny and it's cheeky. I really loved it. I think it's absolutely worth the watch. And I think a lot of people did already binge the show. It was like a top show on Netflix for a while. But yeah, it's really well done. They both acted incredibly in it.
I've seen a lot of praise for it. Is it done, one and done, or is it going to be another season?
I think it's one and done. It's based on a book too. So, you know, that had a good reference, which is always good.
One season show. Just
yep.
Front to back. Unless it's Shogun, which is going to be one season. I wish that was 10 seasons, but whatever.
Shogun's only going to be one season?
It's based on a book. So they're adapting the whole thing front to back. So like they had the source material. Yeah. And we are fine.
Call D&D and they'll do the rest of the season.
With B-Times, we're halfway through the season. So it's 5 of 10 are out. Definitely a good time to jump on that show because I'm throwing this as a last pitch. We cover Shogun. I could talk about it for freaking days, but just
I was going to say, speaking of D&D, you want to mention... Speaking of D&D, do you want to mention Three Body Part?
I hate D&D for ruining Game of Thrones, but they did come out with a new show for Netflix that just dropped this week. If you turn on Netflix, I guarantee it's going to be marketed as one of the top shows. It's called The Three Body Problem, also based on a series of books. Very sci-fi heavy, VR, aliens, sci-fi, everything you could want with modern day Netflix money. I hate to promote them, but so far through 2 episodes, like the mystery is out of this world entertaining. Me and Alki just destroyed 2 episodes last night. I'm going to probably watch more later today. But yeah, I'll be pitching that more as a positive or negative once I finish the whole season. But yeah.
Sure.
Through gritted teeth.
Yeah. Maybe through a tweet. Maybe not on our airwaves. But
yeah.
All right. Any final thoughts? Anything you're watching? Anything you want to watch? Like Luke just said, you know, Three Body Problem, etc.
You know what? I'm coming out of left field. There is a glass blowing competitive reality TV show on Netflix called Blown Away. Season 4 just dropped. I get hooked every single season. It is these world-class glass blowers, and they just make sculptures mm-hmm. based on the judges' assignments. It's like
I've dabbled.
You've dabbled.
It's good.
More of us should be dabbling in glass blowing. It'll make you want to pick up the blower, whatever the hell it is. Actually, it'll make you want to enter the glory hole, and that is a real term. Look it up. Glass blowing, glory hole. Do not search those things separately. You might get some wild results, but Blown Away, check it out. Mm-hmm. Season 1's gripping.
That was a gorgeous way to end the podcast. Thank you. Thank you for that. I love that about you, Brian. Some future look, I would say, you know, in June, The Boys season 4 and House of the Dragon season 2 are coming out. So get your rewatches in. Season 3 of The Bear, go listen to our coverage. Maybe you don't have time to rewatch, you can listen to our coverage while you're bopping around, you're driving in your car, etc. We covered both of those. We did some of The Bear. What did we do? 1 episode coverage of The Bear? Yeah. So I am rewatching The Boys with my girlfriend who has never seen it before, and watching it through her eyes is excellent. I wish that was me. Go check out Gen V as well. Of course, that's like season 3.5 of The Boys. I think it's, again, necessary viewing. I keep saying that, but just so such good TV, and that'll like scratch an itch if you haven't seen Gen V before The Boys season 4. But yeah, like we talked about, go check out Shogun coverage that's happening right now. Just got done The Traitors, but Survivor 46 is happening now. Brian and Kyle just got done with Masters of the Air. Some anime. Dave, which animes are you doing right now? Solo Leveling?
Correct. Solo Leveling, me, Alki, and Kyle.
Love that. Okay, so the range we have on this pod, come on. Yeah, so go check us out, and more importantly, Discord. We in the link, go to our Discord, come chat with us. We'd like to create a community to hang out, and then go hit subscribe and you'll never miss an episode. Binge on TV. Love you guys. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.